Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived. This episode contains discussions of sexual assault, rape, and severe trauma. Listener discretion is strongly advised. During the recording, our guest experienced a trauma response, including moments of disassociation and difficulty recalling questions. This is a natural and valid response to trauma. We choose to honor their pace and humanity rather than push for clarity or continuity. Please take care of yourself while listening. Pause, skip, or step away as needed. If this topic is activating for you, we encourage you to prioritize your safety and well-being. You've probably heard it said that the church is supposed to be the safest place a person can be. A place of refuge, a place of healing, a place where people encounter love.
But for many people, that safety was conditional. It came with silence, with obedience, with the unspoken rule that questioning harm meant questioning God.
This podcast exists because too many stories were buried under theology. Too many survivors were told their suffering was holy, and too many abusers were protected in the name of faith.
Today's episode is heavy, but it's also deeply important. We're talking with someone who was raised Southern Baptist and endured profound abuse inside religious spaces.
Our guest went from praising God within that system to later naming and calling out that harm religion caused, not out of bitterness, but out of a refusal to let abuse stay hidden.
We want to say this clearly before we begin. This conversation may be difficult to hear. Please take care of yourself. Pause if you need to. Step away if you need to.
And George, thank you so much for trusting us with your story. You are in control of what you share today. There is zero pressure here. Welcome into the show.
Thanks for having me. I love y'all.
We love you too, George. So we know George. T and I both know George. I encountered George through TikTok. And it's been a couple of years ago that we found each other. We both kind of work in the same spaces on the internet, calling out religious harm, religious bigotry, religious abuse. And that's how we connected with one another. And then, you know, we just became friends and it's kind of went from there, hasn't it, George?
You and your husband were on a cruise and we had just become friends on TikTok. And you and your husband went on a cruise and two of my friends were on that exact same cruise.
Oh, that is so crazy.
And I messaged you on Messenger and said, hey, these are my friends. This is what they look like. Y'all are on the same cruise. But I think that was the day that y'all had gotten back.
Yeah.
and that's when we really started talking. So.
And the same for me. I just want to say that you have always supported my videos and always have made comments. And when you weren't around, I would be like, where are you? So thank you.
Probably banned again.
Right. So George, can you start by telling us what your religious environment looked like growing up Southern Baptist?
Oh my goodness. So going to church, church was every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, Tuesday night visitation, Wednesday night services. Thursday night was some kind of prayer meeting. I had to do whatever the youth group was doing on the weekends. And that went on until I started working. And then my parents at first said, you know, you have to be off work on Sundays so that you can go to church. Eventually, you know, jobs got to where... You know, when I started working, malls were closed on Sundays.
Yeah.
Most places were closed on Sundays. So it was, you know, all church all the time. And if you said you didn't want to go to church, you got your butt beat and you still went to church.
Yeah. There was no option to not go to church.
No, there was no option. There was no option. Don't ask questions.
Yeah. And okay.
I, so,
You're
You
getting
know,
into another really good question, and that is, what were you taught about God and, authority and things like that at that time? What did that structure look like?
Well, I was taught that anybody that was in authority, God put them there.
Right.
And one of the things I kept hearing all the time is God does not choose the qualified, he qualifies the chosen.
Yes, he qualifies the call. That's what we he doesn't call the qualified. Yes, he qualifies the call. And that's when you got these idiots behind the pulpit saying that they're preaching truth when they're not. And you weren't
And
allowed to question authority.
no, absolutely. I remember being in Sunday school, and this was I had just learned about Greek mythology. So I was learning about Hercules. And I thought, that's a very simple story to Samson. The only difference is with Samson, they made a woman the villain.
Yes.
And, one of the things that I always learned growing, women were the problems for everything. Original sin started with women. Eve forced Adam to eat the apple. And, that was one thing I always questioned. I said, how did she make him do
Exactly. He had free will too. Come on.
it? I said, did she make him eat it? Throat. Can you explain that to me? I asked why Hercules was a myth and Samson was real. And I was told to shut up and believe.
Right.
And I asked, well, there are no other gods before me, so there's other gods. No, there's not. He's talking about putting anything before him and making it a god. No, I don't think that's what it says, because if you read Genesis, it said he was made in our image. And they're like, no. So I had critical thinking as a child, and that was just shut down. You're not allowed to question anything. The Bible is finite. I knew at an early age that I was transgender. I didn't know what the word for it was. And I always thought when I hit puberty that that's when I get my tally whacker.
Oh, wow.
Because we weren't taught about
We
that kind
weren't
of
taught
thing.
about, and we weren't taught about our bodies. We weren't.
No,
Yep.
that was dirty. That was dirty. And things happened to me which caused me to do things that children do when things happen to them, and I was shamed in church for it. When I gave birth to my son, the preacher wanted to meet with me. And my son's father is my brother.
Oh,
And the
sure.
church leaders wanted to meet with me after I had my son, because I have a child out of wedlock. And they brought me in and they asked me a bunch of questions, and I finally told them what happened to me. And they said, well, what did you do to lead him on?
Oh, my God.
When I said I was 4 years old when this started, he said, yeah, what did you do to lead him on?
Oh.
I said, I was 4 years old. He said, yes, you were a 4-year-old temptress.
Oh my God.
And they made me apologize to the congregation for being a temptress to my brother. But nobody acknowledges that he's my child's father. Even to this day, nobody acknowledges it. I left the church shortly after I left the military. I was closeted throughout high school because I grew up in Mesquite, Texas, in the 80s. I used to get in so much trouble in church. I finally got kicked out of Sunday school because I'd asked too many questions. Because I questioned everything. Everything. And that's not allowed.
Yeah.
And George, can
Now,
I just say this? Take your time in telling your story. We'll
Yeah.
hold space for you because we know it's difficult.
I am ready for the next question.
Okay. As a child, did you feel safe in those spaces, or did safety feel dependent on behavior?
Safety felt dependent on being away from my brother. Other than what my brother did to me, my childhood was actually pretty decent. We took lots of family vacations. I never really felt like I belonged. I was adopted. My brother made sure that I remembered that. And I never really felt like I belonged, but I felt like they really tried. I feel like they really tried to make me belong, but there was nothing they could do to make me belong. And so I never really felt safe. Safety was, I guess, something I didn't really think about. I went into survival mode at such an early age. I'm pretty sure I've been on survival mode since before I was even adopted. I don't know everything that happened to me before I was adopted. I was adopted when I was two. So some of those memories are never going to, those memories aren't ever going to surface. I'm just now remembering back to when I was 4 and 5. So I don't think that I really knew what safety was because I'd never really felt safe until I was older.
So you've described the abuse you endured as egregious. Without sharing anything you're not comfortable with, can you help listeners understand the context in which that abuse was allowed to happen? How was this able to go on in your Christian home?
I don't think anybody knew, and if they knew, they didn't want to know. He would wait until everybody was asleep and come into my room at night. He would make very public threats that people thought were just, big brother and little sister banter. I had a select few dolls that I liked. I mostly wanted to play with boys stuff, but I was a girl. I had to do pageants and all that crap. And so ADD. I forgot the question. My mind went
Whereas,
someplace else. My mind went someplace else.
that's okay, George. It's okay. It happens.
Shit. What was the question again?
You've described the abuse you endured as egregious. Without sharing anything you're not comfortable with, can you help the listeners understand the context in which that abuse was allowed to happen?
Okay. I think that it just either wasn't noticed, or if it was noticed, there was a denial around it.
And did the environment that you were in, did that affect this? Did it play a role in it? Did it make it easier for this to occur?
I think so. I do. My father was gone a lot. He was a truck driver. And once my other two brothers moved out of the house, it got worse. When there were other men in the house, it didn't happen as much. It happened more when just mama was home, which makes me question a lot.
Were there moments when adults or leaders knew something was wrong, but they chose theology over your safety?
Yes. I had told several people what Danny was doing to me, and they thought I was lying. So I just stopped trying to tell anybody.
I think with hearing you say that, a lot of us who have suffered severe CSA or SA find ourselves not being believed not having a safe place, not knowing where to go or who to turn to. And silence becomes our only point of survival.
And I was threatened a lot. He would,
Right.
I knew that I was adopted. I did not know what my life before adoption was like. He would threaten me with things like, they will send you back. To what? They'll send you back and it'll be worse than this. Well, Jesus Christ, what the fuck did I come from? If it's that bad that they took me away from my parents, how bad could it be? He would say, they'll blame you. You're not really my sister, and they'll blame you. One day I came home and all my dolls were hung by hangman's nooses from my ceiling fan. My mother's the one that took them down for me.
Wow. So your mother was aware that this was happening.
She said she wasn't, but I really kind of wonder.
Whether she wasn't aware or she chose to make sure she maintained a family secret for the sake of the face of the family.
Yeah.
I think more denial.
Denial.
So was faith language used to explain, excuse, or spiritualize what was happening to you?
No. Because it never really completely came out until I was an adult.
Yeah.
And by that time, I was just kind of like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I still went to church because I was still living under my parents' roof. But I joined the military very shortly after turning 18.
May I ask a question? But how old were you when you had your son?
18.
Eighteen.
I turned 18 in June, and he was born in July. My brother was married, had a wife, a child, and was still coming home and doing this to me. Every time him and his wife got in a fight, he would come home and rape me.
Wow, that is so horrible.
For many survivors, faith becomes both a refuge and a trap. At what time in your life, what did praising God mean to you? At that time in your life, what did praising God mean to you?
Not a whole lot. I talked the talk. I knew. I learned at a very early age how to manipulate. I learned at a very early age how to say the right things. I don't know if either of you're familiar with sword drills. But I was a sword drill champion. I have like 23 championship Bibles. So a sword drill is you take your Bible, it sits flat on a table, your hands are in your lap, and whoever's running the competition, they give you a book, chapter, and verse. And you've got to be the first one to get to it. I was really good at that.
And don't you have to stand up and read it? Yeah.
The first one to stand up and read it wins. Yeah. So, they had tournaments. Our area would have tournaments. And you always got the sword drill Bible, championship Bible. Yeah, I'd rather have money.
So, George, when people say, just trust God, what does that phrase bring up for you now?
I trusted God to stop my brother and he didn't do it. So I stopped trusting God at 4 years old.
That is valid, my friend. Very valid. 100% valid.
But then after that, George, I'm sure you just went through the motions and the actions that were required of you. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, yeah. I know what to say, how to say it, what scripture to quote. When, how to, I could counsel somebody with scripture.
How to dress, how to act, what was expected in church.
How to dress, how to act, what's expected in church, what's expected outside of church.
Yes.
You know, My parents weren't pushing. My parents weren't pushing for me to have a career somewhere. They were pushing for me to find a husband and become a mother, which was, I never wanted to have children. I wanted to procreate, but I wanted to put a baby in somewhat easier. Hey, I did not want to have a baby. And that was, one of those things I was not prepared for that ended up. Another thing in my home, don't come home pregnant. So I kept my pregnancy a secret. Everybody found out the day I went to labor. My dad found out on the way to the hospital after my water broke. Before that, he thought it was kidney stones.
Oh my gosh.
That had to be so hard for you to do as
It
an
was,
18-year-old.
I was terrified. I was working three jobs, finishing high school. I worked at the rodeo in Mesquite. The last night that I worked there, I got off work at like 3 o'clock in the morning on the ninth and went to labor at 10 o'clock. And I didn't go to church that morning, which, is unheard of. But because I got home so late, they went ahead and let me sleep. Well, Mama got home from church and I said, Mama, I need to talk to you. Come here. And she said, I'm busy. And you don't raise your voice to your parents. Yeah, you just don't. And I said, no, come here now.
Oh no.
So she knew something was really wrong. And that's when I told her, I said, I don't know how to tell you this other than I'm pregnant, I'm full term, my contractions are a minute apart and lasting a minute, and don't tell daddy.
Dang. That would be kind of difficult to do if it's a minute apart.
Yeah,
But
so we
even
were,
in full-blown labor, you're still trying to keep the secret.
yeah.
That's And how did your mom handle it when she knew the truth?
I wanted to give him up for adoption. She wanted to keep him. My dad said, is he at least white?
Oh my God, that is so horrible. That is so horrible, George.
But, my dad ended up being my son's hero and his best friend. My daddy really stepped up with my son. And when my dad found out what my brother had done to me, he all but cut him off. If my brother came over, my dad would leave. He'd leave. He'd stay if the whole family was there. But other than that, daddy would leave. Daddy didn't want anything to do with anyone when he found that out. Daddy even stopped going to church for a time. Daddy was a deacon in the church and, we'd say grace before every meal. But I could see, looking back now, I can see my dad's faith wavering.
And when you say something like that, George, when you say that your dad stepped up, how difficult was it for you to be honest with your mom and dad to tell them what actually happened? And was there ever any accountability for the brother who did this?
Absolutely not. There was no accountability for him at all. I did not, they just thought I slept with a boyfriend and got pregnant. I did not tell them who his father was until Colton was like two. And nobody believed me. I told them, do a DNA test. Do a DNA test. Nobody wanted to do a DNA test. When Colton got older, I asked him if he wanted to do one. And he's like, I don't, I have a mirror. He said, I have a mirror. I don't need a DNA test. I have a mirror. So.
But your brother probably has been able to fly under the radar because.
Oh, yeah. My brother ended up eventually, he flew under the radar for me, but he got caught. He had a girlfriend and he raped her 4-year-old. And He was going to plead not guilty, and then that girlfriend called me because she knew what he had done to me. And so he ended up raping his girlfriend's 4-year-old. His girlfriend called me and asked me if I'd testify against him because he was pleading not guilty. I said, "Absolutely, absolutely, I'll testify against him."
So is he
And
in jail?
he did 5 years in prison for that. He went ahead and pled it down. They let him plead it down to indecency with a child by contact.
I could take.
Texas, where they're going to put all the rapists in prison. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Texas.
So he got 5 years. While he was in prison, throughout my addiction, Niels, I became a drug addict. I was using at the age of 13. Nobody, that's another thing. My parents don't believe that I was sneaking out the window and going and getting high and getting drunk and doing all that. There's no way you could have done that. Yeah, I did. That's nothing to brag about. I said, I'm not bragging. It's part of my story.
So your brother got 5 years in prison. What is he up to now, George?
He's a preacher. So when he got out of prison, I was a single parent with a teenager nobody could do anything with, an infant, a little over a year clean, two full-time jobs, and struggling and begging my family for help. And they would do nothing to fucking help me. But when he got out of prison for raping that 4-year-old, they gave him the family lake house, a vehicle, and he had a job waiting.
Wow, that is so horrible, George.
But I was a queer drug addict, so.
And I'm going to say this for the ones who didn't say it to you. I am sorry.
Yeah.
I am sorry. Because I know that feeling. I know how lonely that feels. I'm sorry.
So, George, there was a shift for you from devotion within the system to calling out religious harm. Was there a moment, or was it a slow unraveling of your
It was a
faith?
slow unraveling. It was a slow unraveling. I kept going back and forth. You get so indoctrinated that it's so easy to be pulled back in.
Right.
You start believing that your conscious is actually some higher being talking to you. No, it's just your conscience.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing, but it's the
I mean, and then I took psychology. I kept hearing the preacher talk about that still small voice, that still small voice, that still small voice. Yes, that's your conscience. That's your fucking brain working, telling you, hey.
and it's also saying, you need a shot of tequila. Kill
Yeah.
that small, sweet voice in that head. I'm sorry. When people say, just trust God, what does that do to you today? What does that bring up in you?
Trusting for what? So trusting for what? I mean, the very men that claim to be God's chosen men, God's representatives, are the number one perpetrators of child sexual assault in America.
Yeah.
Trusting for what?
And you
Trust
said
God?
you.
I mean, you can't, you're so powerful, but you can't stop your representatives from raping children in your name.
And you would
Speak on it.
think, as a sex offender, he wouldn't be in charge of a church or be allowed to be around
Children.
children.
No, he's right. He's met all the grand. He's met all of my nieces and nephews' children. I've only met the ones that belong to a non-blood related nephew, but he's met and held them all.
Just don't understand. I don't even have the words
Yeah,
to
like
articulate
it's because
what
it's
I'm
so
thinking.
egregious that not only is he out of prison, but now he's got open access in a position of power and authority to children, where he's going to be unchecked because he's the pastor. And the pastor isn't questioned. It goes back to what you said in the beginning. You don't question the man of God. You don't
Right.
question the person in the place of authority. And that is so horrible. Like, just that is so vile.
And for those of us who have been violated within the boundaries or within the four walls of a church, that just makes it all that much more that we'll never walk back into a church house again because we know what's going to happen. Or what could happen, or what is going on already to others that are in there.
Yeah.
One of my biggest sayings for last year was all religion till no religion.
Yep.
And it is, I just feel like this passion to dismantle pulpits, one pulpit at a time, because this is not just an isolated incident. This is not just like, oh, this is, you know, it happened there. No, it happened there. It happened here. It happened over there.
I
Everywhere. It's everywhere.
I am one of 100 million kids.
Oh yeah,
So am I.
exactly. And you know, she's got a story of abuse. I've got a story of abuse. You've got a story of abuse. And that's just three of us. But
And I've
we,
got a friend in here that's got a story of
I mean,
abuse.
exactly. And it's all in the same places or by the same people. And it's because of the same system, because we were taught the same things. And
Yes.
that's why. Like, again, I say this every week, just about, but these conversations are so important because we continue to shine light on the harm that is still actively occurring. People think, oh, George, that happened to you, oh, 20 some years ago, whatever. That's not still going on. Yes, it is. I tell you
Yes, it
what,
is, because
we
I can
see
still
the
wake up and hear
news.
his voice.
Yep. And we see the news every single day. It's another pastor arrested, another clergy person. Like, it is
Another youth
happening.
pastor, another Sunday school teacher, somebody that's put in authority by God
Yes. So this
over
leads
these
into
children.
a really good question is when you started naming the religious harm and calling it out, how did the religious community respond to you when you started doing that?
You just need to have more faith.
Huh.
God gives us free will. And I said, yeah, okay, so what about the free will of the children? Because that's certainly not their will.
Yeah.
And have you heard this one, George? Well, God wouldn't put on more than you can bear.
You could say,
Oh,
oh,
yes.
God, my mother just told me that the other day, right before I blocked her.
Like, how much is a 4-year-old supposed to bear? A
Exactly.
5-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old. Exactly at what point does the other person who perpetrated the harm have to bear any of this? They
They don't.
don't.
Yeah. They
And for
don't.
the listeners here today, you are looking at three different religions. Mine is Apostolic Pentecostal, Heather's Church of God,
Got
and
it.
we have
Yep.
Southern Baptists. So we're not talking about one sect that this is happening
No.
to. This goes through all denominations.
Yes.
Three different denominations that can't agree on anything
And do you remember
except
being,
for covering up sexual assault.
yeah. And you know what's
Yes.
crazy is I remember being in church and thinking, oh, we're not bad. We're not like the Jehovah's Witnesses, or
Yeah.
we're not like the Southern Baptists. You know, we always felt like we were the
We were
better
better.
Christians, you know?
No, we were.
And it was
No,
everybody
we
else that was
were.
more extreme, you know? And it
The
wasn't like
Baptists
that
were
at
the only
all.
ones going to heaven, ma'am. I'm sorry.
And George, I went back to the cult in August, and I was told that when I left, after I left, that it wasn't only just little girls, but it was also little boys, and that it was still happening. And
Yeah.
I just looked at my brother and I said, "You have got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me that it's still happening." And it was like, well, yeah. I'm like, why is it still happening? Why isn't somebody doing something about it? He said, it's only their responsibility to ask forgiveness. I'm like, I thought I was going to be sick. Get up and confess your sins one to
That
the
was another
each
thing.
other.
And they don't
That
have
was
to
another thing.
change. That's the
That
thing.
was
They
another thing my mom told me. Yeah. That same fucking thing. God's forgiven them. Why can't you? can't you? I can almost every time we have a survivor on this podcast, when they say one word, do you realize I can finish your sentence on everything that you're saying? Because it's so which religion is correct?
Yeah.
If all the religions, it becomes not about God, it becomes about perpetrating and hiding what's going
Harm.
on.
Yeah.
Harm.
I saw a thing. I'll have to find it and send it to you. This guy's talking about, we would, if we weren't allowed to teach kids about religion until they were 18, we'd have a lot more atheists in this world.
Oh, yeah, we would.
Because if you're born in India, by God, you are born Hindu. If you're born in Iran, you're born Muslim. If you're born in America, chances are you're born Christian. And isn't it just fabulous that you're just happy to be born into the right God?
And real quick, I was listening to a podcast on YouTube the other day, and they were saying that of all the religions, right, that none of them have been able to survive for over 50 years without splitting and becoming a different denomination. And that really hit hard to me because so that means that the God of my great grandmother is not the God of my grandmother, and it's not the God of my mother, and it's definitely not the God of me,
Mama.
right? But
Right.
it changes like every generation for the interpreted theology of that generation. So how can you say that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever when you don't even have a religion or a denomination that can last 10 years?
Yeah.
What does
Exactly.
that say about
Have
religion?
you ever? So, people that are Hindus, there's not different sects of Hinduism.
Yeah. There's just
There's not different
Hinduism.
sects.
Yeah.
There are people that pray predominantly to one of the gods, more so than they do the others. But if you look back into the days before Christianity, some people prayed to Zeus, some of them prayed to Athena, some of them, depending on what they were seeking in their life is the God that they went to.
Yep.
Ooh, wee. This is really good. Like I had to take a breather there. So, George, what has healing looked like for you outside or alongside religion?
Say
What does healing look like for you? What did it look like when you were, because I'm sure, like all of us, there was a time that we were religious and in church, and we were healing from the atrocities that happened to us as a child. So, what did that look like for you while you were in the church? And then, what does healing look like for you today?
I've just now started healing. So I just recently, as you both know, cut my whole family off. My son passed away tragically in a motorcycle accident back in October. And as we were planning the memorial, mind you, none of the family cared enough to go to Minnesota, where he actually died, where his actual service was with his church and his chosen family. Nobody cared enough to come to Minnesota for that. All these people that love him so much. So I decided to have a service back home. Well, my mom immediately took over that service because she wanted to have it in a church with a preacher in a service. And that's not what Colton wanted. And we'd already had one of those services. But she took it over. And then all of a sudden, Danny had to be there. Danny, by the way, is Colton's father and my brother that molested me. And if you want to know where he preaches, you can find him at the Church in the Park in Dallas. You can find him on Facebook. He's the fat guy that wears a different colored socks and has a mohawk. That's the pedophile that's preaching to your children.
And you know, George, if you're okay with that, I'm okay with that because mine is an Apostolic Christian Church in West Palm Beach, Florida. And every time I get a chance, that's my story to tell. And that's my business to be able to say exactly where it happened, when it happened, and how it happened. If you're okay with saying that, I'm going to tell you I support you 100% because that
I'll
is a
tell him
very
right
hard
where he's at.
decision to make.
I'll tell him right where. I want his life to get hard. You can call it vengeful. You can call it what you want.
Right.
But the motherfucker had too easy of a life for somebody that goes around fucking kids.
Yep.
And all I wanted was for my son's memorial service to be about my son. My son hated him. He knew who he was. He knew what he was. And he hated him. And my son would not have wanted him at his service. And knowing what Danny had done to me, my mom was insistent that Danny be at this service. My oldest brother, Jerry, who is, Sister Bertha better than you, he refused to sing at my son's service unless Danny was there to sing with him. So
Wow.
the whole family hijacked my son's memorial service unless I allowed my abuser, my rapist, the man that raped me for 13 years of my life, unless I allowed him to be at the service, my son's service was going to be cut short, and the only people would sing him would be the people that I brought.
Wow.
So I said, you know what? I'm not coming. And my friend's not singing, and nobody from my end's coming. And you can have your pedophile.
I am so proud of you, George. I really am. I know that was not an easy thing for you to do at all. But
But you
wow.
know what? I felt like 10,000 tons have been lifted off my shoulders.
I know that feeling. I stand with you, beside you, and hold your hands up and just know that there are others out here that understand.
So, George, what does morality look like for you now outside of religion?
Respect people's boundaries. No means no. And we're not always going to agree on everything. And it doesn't mean it's a lack of faith or a lack of education. It doesn't mean it's stupidity. Sometimes it's just plain ignorance. And sometimes you have to experience things to learn things.
And if I
But
can
in
just
all
say
things,
this. No is a complete sentence.
Senate, yes. I actually have a t-shirt that says that. I make that t-shirt. No, it's a complete sentence. I've been asked many times what I believe now, and I believe there's a creator. I believe there's a spiritual being that created the earth, created people. But I believe beyond creation, that's all that being ever did. Because one thing that I've learned when I started getting into, I got into Wicca. I did a religion search. I've studied all these different religions, but the one thing that I'm always drawn to is the earth, and everything in this world is connected. Everything. If you remove one species from this earth, another species suffers because of it.
Right.
So everything on this earth is connected. And I believe that the creator made this earth that way. And the power of the universe is literally that, the power of Earth, Mother Earth.
What do you wish people understood about survivors who leave the faith or become vocal critics of religious systems?
We woke up. We were tired of being indoctrinated. Christians are real big on having a, what do they call it, a personal relationship with God. Well, if somebody's telling you how to pray, what to pray, how to worship, how is that a personal relationship?
Yeah.
If the preacher is telling you what the Bible says and giving his translation, how is that your personal relationship? That is somebody else's relationship. It's a relationship underneath somebody else's rules, and that's not a relationship.
Yep. So if someone listening is still praising God while being harmed, what would you want them to know?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you feel like you deserve so little. I'm sorry that the indoctrination has kept you in the abuse. And I hope that you find your way out.
That one hit home.
Because we can survive. And there is life after religious abuse. And it's a wonderful life. You know, when I finally stepped away from the church, that's when I got off drugs. When I 100% got away from Christianity and all that, that's when I finally got clean. And everybody kept telling me, God can get you clean. God can get you clean. Well, I tried God. And God stuck another needle in my arm.
I feel that.
And then the same people that say that God can change that pedophile. Well, you know, I stole from y'all. I stole from them when I was in my 20s.
And
Yeah,
they
I'm
can forgive
54 with
him.
15, but now I'm 54 with 15 years clean, and you're still bringing up shit that I did 30 years ago in my addiction.
But of course, they want you to forgive the person
Yes.
who harmed you and not bring it up or talk about it
What?
or
Yeah.
let leave
Hold
it
a
under
grudge.
the blood.
I'm not allowed to hold a grudge.
let me make sure if nobody's told you, you are allowed to feel exactly how you feel. And if that means holding a grudge, if that means not forgiving, if that means doing whatever you need to do, you have permission to do that.
Yep.
I'm not going to forgive him. I've told him that. I'm not going to forgive. I'm not going to forget. And I'm going to be watching and waiting for when he does it to somebody else. And when he does, I'm going to make sure he goes down.
That's what we do.
Because I know, you know, there's only one cure for pedophilia. And that's a grave.
You're not going to get an argument out of me.
Not me
There's only
either.
one cure. There's only one
Because
cure for it.
it's
You
not
know,
just
and
one time. It's usually that one time they got caught.
yes,
yeah,
that's exactly what it
exactly.
is.
That's exactly. You know, it may have happened 50 times, but you only got caught once.
Yep.
Exactly. And then what do you do with all those other 49 times that this has happened? So you got caught the 51. So you're sorry for the 50th time.
Right.
But the 1 through 49 times you don't have to
Yeah.
ask forgiveness for because you didn't get caught for
You didn't
those.
get caught, so they don't count.
No, but the person who was abused, they get a life sentence.
Yeah,
Oh, is that
that's
fair?
exactly
And I'm just supposed to forget about it and move on.
right.
Just
Exactly.
turn to God. Just turn to God. God will fix it all. Well, you know, I was asking God to fix it while it was happening. He didn't fix it then. And you expect me to think he'll fix it now? Now that I'm older and I'm queer and everything that the Bible says that I'm not supposed to be, he'll help me and guide me now and protect me now. But he wouldn't when I was still innocent and calling his name. Fuck you. I'm not even gonna be nice about it. Fuck you.
But I'm right there
You
with you, George. Fuck you.
know, I mean, the least of these. You know, if you really want to follow the Bible, look, if there's anything I'm drawn to in the Bible, it's Jesus Christ. You know, if you go in and you study just Jesus, everything that he stood for, everything that he was, if Christians were truly like Jesus, I could get behind them.
Most of us could.
I could get behind Jesus. It's just his dad I have a problem with.
Yeah.
You know,
He's
because
the
he's
one,
a child rapist
all that slavery and genocide and stuff.
and child rape.
Yeah. Right.
And it's very similar to the Torah. They're all very similar. Very vengeful and very angry and you're going to be punished and very authoritarian. And then along comes Jesus. So in church, you teach me Jesus, 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 but God. Which one am I supposed to believe? You
And
can't
what
tell me God, you can't tell me God is love and then turn around and tell me that if I don't completely 100% devote 100% of my life to Him. Huh? But He's love. Are we going to put it in our marriage vows now? If you don't love me back the way I think you should, I'm going to burn you alive. Come on.
What would you say to the version of yourself who believed suffering was at the cost of faithfulness?
I never believed that.
Okay.
I thought it was just something I had to go through until I could get out.
You basically just knew you had to endure it
Yeah.
until you could get through.
I never thought that it was right. I never bought into the whole you have to suffer to. No. I've always said a big fuck you to that.
And it's almost like because they always say, well, that's just your cross to bear. That you
God won't
just,
give you any more than you can handle.
and it's your cross to bear. So you figured that for your life of commitment to Jesus, that this was what you were going to have to bear and work on for your life. That was like your penance. For your belief in God.
No, I thought that that was my penance for being adopted.
Wow.
I felt
That's
that
so
that was more
sad.
about that. This is what I had to go through to get out of foster care or whatever to have a family. And I'm sorry, I would have rather stayed in foster care. And even after meeting my biological mother and father, and who they turned out to be and who they were. I can't say that for sure that I would have been better off going back to my biological family. I mean, I would have lived in poverty my whole life instead of, middle class, but I would have had somebody in my bedroom every night from the age of 4 to 17.
That's just so sad. Just George, thank you so much for coming on to our show today and sharing your
Thanks
story with
for having
us and being open and honest, because this stuff isn't easy to talk about. Your story is
No.
absolutely egregious. Like, I can't even, like, you have left us speechless countless times here today That's because
right.
just you're a fucking badass. I have to say that, but I am so proud of you
Thank
because
you.
what you went through is just so horrible and nobody deserves that. So I just, you're really awesome. I want you to know that.
Thank
I
you.
love you so much.
I'm glad we finally got to do this.
I am too. I am too.
I was gonna wait till we got I was gonna wait till we got back from Costa Rica. And then when I sent that message to my mom the other day, I went and told Jezebel. I said, "Hey, baby, put me in. Let's go, grandma. Let's go."
Put me in, coach. Put me in. Listen, and knowing that you felt relief after you did what you had to do, I'm sure that was a hard decision for you to make because there's probably many times over your life that you're like, I just need to just walk away and stop. And as somebody who has had no contact with family due to religious issues for almost 30 years now, I don't hold that information lightly. I definitely want to make sure that you know that I support you, hold space for you, love you, and most of all, accept you. And it's really hard when we leave these kind of institutions and ways of life to understand that love is not conditional because that's what we've learned. When we were being raised in it, we were like, oh, love is unconditional. But then when we step away, we realize how many conditions love had on us. And I just want to say, for those who find themselves in situations like George, like myself, like Heather, I accept you, and my love is unconditional because I know what conditional love feels like.
And to all of our listeners, if this episode stirred something in you, you are not alone. Help exists, healing is possible, and your story matters. We are so grateful to have you guys here with us again this week. Please hit that subscribe button so you can continue to follow along with all the work that we are doing here. We are healing loudly together, one story at a time.
And thank you, George, for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your
Thank
very personal story and your journey.
Yes,
I
thank you,
appreciate you
George.
more today than I ever have, but I've loved you from the
Yeah.
first day that you've ever made a like an out loud comment on one of my videos.
I'm
So just
kind
know
of
we
an
love you for healing out loud,
asshole.
and I love you to pieces.
We love you so
I
stinking
love
much.
y'all. Thank you for having me.
You
Thank you
have a
so much
good
for
day.
having me.
Thank
You
you. Before
too.
we leave, is there anything that you feel that you've missed or that you want to say? I just want to make sure that we just don't leave you like
I just want to
don't
say, if
leave you
you're out
here.
there and you're suffering and somebody is telling you you just don't have enough faith, tell them to fuck off. Stop
I love it. I love it.
letting them make you responsible for the things that other people are doing to you. It's okay to walk away. No is a complete sentence. And say fuck off so much more. Just fuck off. Say it with me. Everybody take a
It.
deep breath. One, two, three. Fuck
Fuck
off.
off. It's a great way to end it, though. I love it. Thank you, That
George.
was fucking
We
amazing.
love
Love
you.
y'all. I love you
Bye, you guys.
too.
Everybody, have a great
Thank you.
day.
Bye. Bye.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by the host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2026.